Does the dashboard of your car or truck light up like a Christmas tree? Do you see waves of rolling steam coming out from under the hood? Are you hearing ding, ding, dings when there shouldn't be a ding, ding, ding? Or are you hearing rawr, 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 when there should be no noise there? What is your vehicle trying to tell you? Is it in trouble? You know, we're going to get into this when we come right back.
Practical Prepping Podcast. We're helping everyday people become prepared for whatever emergencies come our way. Where gear is good, but knowledge is better, because the more you know, the less you have to carry. We're your hosts, Mark and Krista Lawley.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 202. Good to have Krista with us today.
Hey, everybody.
We've had a great day today, and we want to make a couple of announcements here, and one that we're very excited about right now, and that is that we are giving away to three lucky listeners a pair of our books autographed, Practical Prepping for Everyday People and Making Contact During Emergencies. There's absolutely no cost involved in entering. What you do is you go to Jim Curtis Knives Facebook site. You find the knife that has the 5-digit code written on a white cardstock, and you email that code to us. Just put it into the subject line. We don't need an address at this point in time. If you're one of the winners, we will contact you and get the mailing address to be able to send you the books. And this contest is not limited to the United States. Could get expensive, but we'll pay the international postage on this to get these books to you.
We wish you good luck, and we want you to enter. Absolutely. Get that 5-digit code, email us, and listeners, also, you can enter an email more than one time. Once you get that code, you can email as often as you like. The contest will be open until April the 24th, 2022, when it will be concluded. After that, the winners will be selected and contacted individually, so that you'll know that you have won the top prize.
What's our topic for today?
We're talking about summarizing your automobile, and we're not talking about making it into a cohesive paragraph. We're talking about summer, like the season of summer. I think you're already thinking ahead because it was actually still winter when you began creating this particular topic. And now we are into the season of spring, which might be funny for some people in the United States, because this past weekend, some people got up under a blanket of snow. Mm-hmm. I mean, a goodly amount of snow coverage. So old man winter is still kind of hanging on there for just a few more days.
But a lot of our listeners are into fall and going into winter.
Yes, the ones that are in the southern hemisphere are definitely into the fall. And so we're talking about paying attention to your automobile, your truck, your vehicle, whatever it is you're driving, because you've got to get it ready for coming out of winter and a cold spring and getting ready to summarize it.
Well, the thing is, it's very similar when you're summarizing and winterizing
is
a vehicle. There's many of the same things that you do.
Well, that's good.
So it's not a wasted podcast if you're in the southern hemisphere.
Oh, very cool.
Being prepared is as much about preventing problems as it is being able to fix the problem.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
And your vehicle gets you from point A to point B, and relying on it means proper maintenance. So prep your car, prep your truck, prep your motorbike, scooter, or bicycle. Now, some of these things won't apply to bicycles, obviously, for the hot months.
Absolutely. I mean, with you're on a bike, you're the engine, right?
Right. Now, we're going to start out, and we're going to talk about several systems in the vehicle. We're going to talk about the cooling system, which is a critical system because overheating can cause permanent damage to the engine. We're going to talk about the engine, the tires, the brakes, being able to stop, very important.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the air conditioning, and we're going to talk a little bit about the interior and exterior. Now, let's first go under the hood.
Okay.
Let's get under the hood, and let's get ready. And you want to be sure that engine is cool. You do not want to be doing this with a hot engine.
Mm-mm.
We're going to check the radiator and the hoses for leaks. Make sure they have snug connections. Reach down there and squeeze that radiator hose. You want it to be firm. You don't want it to be soft. If it's soft, you need to be looking at replacing that. Check the level of fluid in the reservoir. And it should be about half full when it's cold. And if it's low, add a mixture of water and antifreeze, about 50-50 water and antifreeze. Now check the color of that. That radiator fluid should either be green or pink. If it's brown or rusty, you need to have that radiator flushed, that cooling system flushed. The green antifreeze is ethyl glycol based, and that is poisonous to human and animals. And the pink is Dexcool. And one of the things about it is it has a taste that repels animals, and it's said to be safer for the environment. Now, you cannot mix the two of these. You can change over to another one, but you can't mix the two. But Dexcool is believed to cause erosion of the gaskets, and it can gunk up the water pump. So a lot of folks change over from the Dexcool, the pink, over to the green after the warranty has run out or at a point where they have the cooling system flushed. But you might want to stick with the original until that warranty runs out because we wouldn't want to jeopardize that in any way. Now, on the top of your radiator is a radiator cap. Now, that's a pressure cap. And as pressure rises, it raises the boiling point of the fluid. So never, ever open a hot radiator cap. It will spew out on you. And Krista had a friend in high school severely injured from doing that very thing.
It was just, you know, this was an intelligent fellow, and he kind of panicked, and he reached over to that radiator cap because it was already steaming. And in his mind, he thought, I need to get that cap off so that steam can go ahead and get. Well, the thing just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
He was severely burned. It was awful.
But now when it's cold, take that radiator cap off and check for gunk around the rubber on that. It needs to make a very good seal. Check for evidence of leaks in that rubber and check for cracks in that rubber. If you see any of these, then you need to replace it, and those things are pretty cheap. Not a bad idea to do that, but they are a pressure cap, so do not open it while it's hot. One of the reasons that we want the cooling system in good order is overheating can cause permanent damage to your engine. So watch your temperature gauge or your dash light, and sometimes that appears as a little thermometer. It looks like a little thermometer that comes on. So if you see that, you may have an overheating problem. Now, if you're driving and your vehicle overheats and you begin to, this is before it starts blowing steam, okay? This is when you notice that the temperature is rising on that gauge. You can turn on the heater. Now, that sounds counterintuitive in the summer, but one of the things that it does is it pulls some of the heat away from the engine and diverts that into the interior of the vehicle, making the engine slightly cooler. But you need to stop as soon as you can. Don't wait too long, but if you're a half mile from the exit and this thing doesn't peg out the needle, then you can safely get off the interstate onto an exit or something like that. But you don't want to wait too long. Then you want to let it cool down because we don't want to be opening this thing when it's hot. If it's a burst hose, it'll be blowing steam. This is what you were referring to a while ago. A burst hose will blow steam out from under the engine. It almost looks like it's on fire if it's a big enough split under there, but it's just steam. Now, let me caution you here. Do not put cold water or antifreeze into a hot engine.
Why would you not do that?
It can crack the engine block.
Ouch.
And if you do that, it requires another engine.
Engines are not inexpensive.
No, they're not. You're looking at probably $5,000 to $8,000 to replace an engine today. So do not put cold water or cold antifreeze into a hot engine. Let that engine cool down. And once it is cool, you can correct the problem. Now, this is the prepper. This is where the prepper comes out, in that I don't carry extra radiator hoses with us, but I do carry a lot of duct tape. You can duct tape a split hose to be able to get to a shop. Put it on tight, put a lot on, put more on, and, you know,
tape it up there.
Tape it up, tape it several inches on each end of the split in the hose, then add coolant directly to the radiator. And then top off the reservoir as well up to about halfway. Now, here's a trick if you're going to do this. Leave that radiator cap loose. Now, when you put a radiator cap on, basically you've got two clicks. One keeps it from blowing off, and the other one pressure seals it. So leave it loose.
Just like the one click.
The one click. Okay. And that will not build up pressure on that cooling system, so your duct tape patch should work.
Very good advice. I'm glad I've learned some things already. Okay, here's the next area. We want you to check the belts. The belts drive the air conditioner and the pumps with power from a pulley that's connected to the crankshaft. These belts should be taut, T-A-U-T, taut, which means tight. They should not be worn, cracked, or damaged. There should be no chunks missing and no threads showing. So take a look at those belts. You need to also check that air filter. Is that air filter dusty and dirty? Dirty filters allow particles to get into the intake, and that ultimately winds up in the engine. Can you see a light through your air filter? If you can't see light through it, you need a new one. Your air filter should be changed every other oil change and perhaps more in even more dusty environments. Let's talk about air conditioning for a moment. And I'll tell you what, I cannot live without an air conditioner in my vehicle. And I grew up in a household that had no cars with air conditioners. And we grew up in Alabama and Tennessee, so it was hot. But I'm a little bit spoiled now, and my air conditioner must work. If your air conditioner gets warm when you're idling at stoplights or, you know, like when you're not actually moving forward, and then when it gets cold again when you're back up to speed, that means your system is low on Freon. If you're handy with vehicle repairs, there are some kits that are available at the auto parts stores for you to be able to handle that yourself.
Next thing we're going to do under the hood is check the oil levels. When we start checking the oil level, we want to make sure that that's clean oil. See, dirty oil increases engine wear. Now, some manufacturers recommend changing oil every 5,000 miles, especially with synthetic oil. I grew up with, and I still like, and we still do with our personal vehicles and with the county vehicles, we change oil every 3,000 miles, and that greatly increases the longevity of the engine. So that's one you decide what you're going to do, but we like 3,000 miles. Check your battery. Now, heat kills as many batteries as does cold weather.
I did not know that.
You did not know that. See, battery expectancy is usually around 4 to 5 years, but when that thing is getting older and it's getting weaker and it gets extremely hot or extremely cold, it's harder for that battery to operate. And so hot weather kills as many as does cold weather. Mm-hmm. But now check your terminals, check for corroded terminals, and you can apply WD-40 or a light coat of some type of oil to prevent that corrosion from building up. But now if it's heavy corrosion, you may have to remove the terminal from the post and clean that inside and out. And you might even have to replace that depending on how much damage that corrosion has done. Now, one way to know if your battery needs attention, and this is much like you were talking about when the engine is idling and it gets warm in the air conditioning, and then when the RPMs go up after you take off from the traffic light, it cools back down again. Mm-hmm. When you pull up and your engine idles, do your lights dim?
So this is a nighttime. You're talking about headlights.
Right. Okay. And this is just a way to notice it ahead of time.
Okay.
Also, if you have an engine that's slow cranking, you could have a weak battery. Now, have you had to jump it off more than once?
Ah, okay. That may see that's life support for the battery, right?
This is not a hard and fast thing, but sometimes the fault is mine. Sometimes it's not the battery's fault. I've left things on and it drained that battery and I have to jump it off, and it's not the battery's fault, so I don't count that one against it.
Okay.
But in normal conditions, if I've done what I'm supposed to do and it's slow cranking, or I have to jump it off, after the second time in your vehicle, that battery's gone. Mm-hmm. That battery's gone. It just, we're not going to continue doing that.
We do get a lot of years out of our batteries.
We do. And you can get it checked free at most auto parts stores. Most of them will go out there and put a battery tester on it, and they test your battery and your alternator. The last time I had that done, he told me, he said, your battery's fine. You're good to go. So it just, we knew it was there, and we knew that it was good to go. Check your brakes. While you're under the hood, look at the fluid level. Fill it if it's necessary. One of the things that you can tell is, do you have a full pedal? If you start getting low on brake fluid, you'll start having a lower pedal.
My dad used to call that a soft brake pedal.
You can have a soft brake pedal.
Having more troubles, it takes longer to stop, or it didn't feel like it's going to stop.
You push harder on it.
Okay.
So if you got any of those things, if you don't have a full pedal, you need to do some checking on it. Now also, if there's any pulsing, you could have a worn rotor or a warped rotor if it's pulsing when you're trying to stop. If you're getting any grabbing or any noise or any increased stopping distance, you need to have those brakes checked. We're pretty good under the hood, so let's get outside, out from under the hood, and we're going to get around there. We're going to inspect those brake pads. Sometimes you may need to crawl under it to see them. Sometimes you can see them from outside, depending on the wheels that you have. But those things, when they're new, they're about a half inch or so thick. If they're down to around an eighth of an inch thick, you need to look at replacing those brake pads. Now, if you've worn past the pad, you get metal to metal, and that damages the rotors, which greatly increases the cost of repair. So inspect the brake rotors. They should be smooth and not have any deep grooves in them. And then there are what I call squealers. I'm sure that there's some other word for it. But this is a little mechanism on the disc brakes that begins to make a little squeal when you're putting on brakes when the brake pads are near the end of their life. It's an annoying sound, but it's there to let you know that it's time to take action. And we either need to check it or have it checked. And don't depend totally on that squeal. You need to do it as an annual inspection. And a good shop that's doing the oil changes and such on your vehicle, they'll look at your brakes when they do that as well. Now, when you're inspecting drum brake shoes, that requires removing the wheels and the drums, but that's usually on older vehicles. But you have to get in there to be able to visually see. And this is where the soft pedal came in, your dad was talking about. This was where it took a little more distance to stop. But that pedal would go closer. Because what you do, as you wear down the brake pad, more fluid comes out of that reservoir to be able to push that pad to where it needs to be.
All right, so we're going to talk about tires. You can't go anywhere without them. You've got to have tires. It's time to remove the winter tires if you're in the northern hemisphere and put on your spring summers. Now, if you're in the southern hemisphere, you're going to take off your spring summers and put on your winters. So you're just exactly opposite. It's also a great opportunity to check the tire pressure. This is where your owner's manual is going to come in handy, because no two tires are alike, and not all tires are alike. There are differing tire pressures depending on your particular tire. And if you don't believe me, go to a tire store and have them tell you. Low tire pressure can actually increase wear on the tires. It will decrease your gas mileage, and nobody wants that. It'll increase the power that's needed to move the vehicle, so that's not efficient. And it flexes the internal cords that can possibly damage that tire. So definitely have those tires looked at. Look at your tread depth. If you don't have a tread depth gauge, you can actually do the old-fashioned mechanic trick of using a penny. You take the penny and face it toward you, and you turn it so that Lincoln's head is pointed downward. Insert that penny into a tread groove. If you can see all of Lincoln's head, that is less than 3/32 of an inch, and that means it needs to be replaced. If you put that penny in and some or almost all of his head is out of sight, that means your tread is good and deep. So that's a good little rule of thumb. You also want to check for any kind of cracks or uneven wear or bulges in the sidewalls, because that can bode very badly for you if you don't pay attention to that. Do not neglect that. Okay, let's talk about some lights. Now, this might have to be done, obviously, after dark to make it easier for you to see, but you want to make sure that all your lights are working, and get a friend or a family member to help you out with this. It just makes it easier. So get into your car, open up, shine up your headlights, turn them on, turn them off. Make sure that they're both operating. Do the same for the taillights. Have someone report to you that they're working. Put on the brake to make sure that the brake lights come on, and also check the turn signals, both left and right. Make sure that all of those lights are working, and replace any that are not. You can actually get stopped by a law enforcement officer who was kind enough to stop you and let you know you've got a taillight out, or maybe you've got one headlight out. They're not doing it to give you a ticket. They're doing it because you may not be aware of it. Let's talk about windshield wipers. Did you know that hot weather can actually accelerate the deterioration of wiper blades? They actually should be changed every other year or sooner if they are not completely clearing the windshield, if they're leaving any streaks, if pieces of the rubber on the windshield wiper are missing or flopping. You can apply a coat of a product called Rain-X. You can apply this to the windshield. Make sure you buff it off dry really well. It has a shielding property that makes raindrop water bead off. In a very, very light shower of rain, I have even driven without my windshield wipers on because of the Rain-X protection. Rain-X also markets a brand of wiper blades, also good. I highly recommend them. I've got them on mine.
All right, let's go back inside the vehicle. And one of the things that we want to do here at least once a year is to apply some type of protectant to the dash and to all the plastic surfaces. There's a product called Armor All that does very well with this. You can get it in a spray. You can get it in wipes that are already permeated with the Armor All. But you need to wipe down any of the plastic areas, the entire dash, the sides on the doors. Anything that's plastic there needs to be protected at least once a year with something like Armor All. And if you have leather seats, this is probably a good time to go ahead and apply leather dressing to all of the leather. All right, on the exterior of the vehicle, we want to wash it, get it good and clean, and then wax it. Now, waxing protects the paint from sunlight, from UV, from salt, and from road film.
So I have a question for you. Can you just make up a bucket of soapy dishwashing liquid water and wash your car with that?
That's not a good thing to do.
Why?
Well, explain why. You know why.
Well, I actually did learn this because I wanted to make sure that you knew. But soap and water from dishwashing liquid actually has a very highly stripping action and is not intended for the type of finish and paint and wax that's on a car. So if you really want to scuzz up the looks of your car over time, improperly wash it with dishwashing liquid. If you want to take care of it, get a cleansing solution that's actually sold in automotive parts stores that is actually designed for car wash. It is a different type of cleanser, and we recommend using that. Or I like to drive through the car wash. That, to me, that's kind of a fun entertainment. I like to sit in my car when it's in neutral and just drive through the little tunnel. They're not using dishwashing liquid in there either. They're using car wash fluid.
Now, here's some tips for traveling long distances. And one of those is to carry some extra items. And here's some that you can carry. Carry a gallon of water. Carry a gallon of antifreeze. Maybe even you carry a 5-quart container of oil that's the same brand and the weight that you normally use. There are times that you're going to have to add oil, especially if it's in an older vehicle. you're going to need that even more often. Carry a good car kit, and you can make this, and it's not hard to put together. You need some jumper cables or a jump box. Need some gloves. Need a four-way lug wrench. I hate using those that they give you when you, I say give, that comes with the vehicle, and that takes an engineering degree to figure that and the jack out. I want a four-way lug wrench, and my dad was so bad about it, he carried his own floor jack. He carried his own floor jack, especially when we were traveling. We had the boat. We had everything that we were going fishing. So he actually put a floor jack in there, carry some duct tape, a tool kit, some of the basic tools, some roadside reflectors or flashing lights. And these come in all shapes and sizes, and they're magnetic, and some of them have stands to stand out on the road. Good idea to have an ice scraper. Now, you probably won't need it during the summer, but who knows? I mean, if this year is anything like 2020, you might want to keep that ice scraper in there just in case. Mm-hmm. A good tire air gauge. It's a good idea, and they really recommend that you check your tires every time you fill up with gas, though most of us don't do that. Now, something we carry is a glass breaker and seatbelt cutter. These are in all of our vehicles, including my patrol vehicle. You just never really know. If you've got the strength and the know-how to do it, carry a tire repair kit, a tubeless tire kit, and you may want to carry a 12-volt compressor. And you also, one of the things that you can do if you want to, is to get a pre-made car emergency kit. And there are a number available online. And what I check, these seem to run between $40 and $100. And most of them are in the $50 to $60 range with most of the things that you could need if you're broken down on the side of the road.
Something else to consider, particularly in the United States, is to become a member of the AAA. It's an automotive organization that provides all sorts of services. For example, towing, roadside service if you're broken down. They can do tire changes for you. They can do lockout service. If your keys are inside and you're outside, that's when you need a lockout service. They can jump batteries. They even offer other things that are not automotive related per se. They do trip and travel and vacation planning nationally and internationally. So AAA can provide a lot of goods and services for you. It's a lot of protection. It is a paid membership, but it does certainly give you a lot of peace of mind, especially if you know you're going to be doing a lot of car traveling or interstate traveling. And you just never know, you know, when you're going to be 1,000 miles from home and suddenly you have a breakdown and need a tire. If you're a member of AAA, they can get to you and they can get to you quick. They've got hundreds and hundreds of service people that can come and take care of you.
And one of the interesting things about AAA Automotive Club or AAA Motor Club is that it covers you in any vehicle that you happen to be in.
That's what I found fascinating, that you can be a paid member, but if you're in another vehicle, your friend or your kid or your coworker, that if they have the problem in their car and they're not a member, they'll still come because you're a member.
It happened with our own daughter, and they'd actually gone to a funeral, and they were about 50 miles from home. And the transmission went out.
Oh, man.
Now, her father-in-law was with them, and he is a AAA member. So AAA provided the wrecker, the tow truck, to pick up my daughter's vehicle and carried it about 50 miles to the shop of their preference. It covers you no matter what vehicle you're in, even if you're in somebody else's.
Good to know.
It's a good time to get out. The weather's starting to get pretty. It's a good idea to take an afternoon, get out there, and spend a little bit of time doing a little bit of maintenance on our vehicles, checking these things, getting it ready for summer, and hopefully that thing lasts us a lot longer. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I've just created a little shopping list of things I need to buy to summarize my car.
Yeah, there's some things we need to put in them. Most of them, we've got them, but there's a couple of things on here that we do need to add. Folks, we've enjoyed you being with us. Don't forget about that giveaway. of the pair of books, and there'll be three winners in that. Just go to Jim Curtis's Facebook page and find that 5-digit code and email that to us, and you are entered. And we will see you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. We would appreciate it if you would share Practical Prepping Podcast with your friends, family, and your social media. The direct link is in the show notes. And as always, stuff happens. Stay prepared.